Morning today, Daven Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav. We're in the, here in the 24th parak of Masechta Shabbos, 2 days away from completing the Masechta. And we are dealing with the feeding of animals. The Mishnah told us that there are certain activities that one is allowed to do in order to feed their animal. The Mishnah talked about feeding your animal, but not overly aggressively feeding your animal. And so the Mishnah used terminology which is a little bit unusual. The Gemara struggled a little bit in terms of defining what exactly the terminology is, but the basic idea behind the Mishnah is that you're allowed to feed your animals, animals that you're responsible for, animals that you own, but what you're not allowed to do is that you're not allowed to force feed the animal in an aggressive manner. We spent yesterday discussing and describing exactly what these activities were in terms of what is considered force feeding the animal. The Gemara quoted a Brice yesterday, supporting the Shita of Rav Yehuda. The Brisa says that force-feeding the animal, what we described yesterday in the Mishnah as hamra'a, so that you're allowed to do, that you're not allowed to do, and that is basically forcing the food so far down the throat of the animal that the animal will not be able to regurgitate it. On the other hand, the other form of force-feeding, which is hal'ata, which is not as forceful in the Brisa, like Rabbi Yehuda proposed, in the Brisa that says that you're feeding the animal, but in a manner in which if the animal chooses to, the animal could regurgitate that food. Okay, so for us urbanites, a lot of these cases over here get lost on us. We're not feeding animals anytime soon. But nevertheless, so these are the halachas as presented in the Mishnah. Obviously, for the Mishnah, this was agricultural living. This was obviously a daily occurrence. In the meantime, however, one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah is putting together the bran in the water. And the Mishnah says, Nosnim Mayim L'Marsan, this is going back to the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, one takes water, mixes it together with the bran, Avalo Govlim, but you cannot knead the two together. So obviously what the Mishnah over here is worried about is the Malacha of Lisha, of the 39 Malachas, going all the way back to Daf Ayin Gimel. So one of the Malachas on Shabbos is Lush, and one is not allowed to knead on Shabbos. So as obviously it's part of the bread making process, the sidura de pas. So one of the 11 malachos is lush, is taking the water and the flour, putting them together and kneading them together. At what point precisely is one violating the malacha of lisha? So our Mishnah over here makes it very clear. Taking the water and the bran and just mixing them together, that in of itself is not going to be the malacha of lush. It's only when you actually physically manipulate and mix the two together, so that's going to be the malacha of lisha. So, seemingly, in our Mishnah is taking a position of what the very definition of Lisha is, and that's where we're starting the discussion in the Gemara with the words Amar Abai. It's about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the Amud at the two dots. Mahalkatin latarnagolim v'chulei Amar Abai. Amrizika midamar masisim mani. So Abai says, so I spoke in front of Mar. Mar always is a reference to Rabbah, the Rebbe of Abai's Rabbah. So I'm speaking to him, and I want to know, who is the author of our Mishnah? V'amali Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda. So he said to me that the Mishnah is following the position of Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. How do we know that? Detanya, because let's take a look at the Braisa. Echad nosin hazakemach ve'echad nosin l'socha mayim ha'achron chayev divrei Rebbe. Shita's Rebbe is as follows, is that if one puts out the flour and the other one pours in the water, the simple act of pouring in the water is going to be a violation of Shabbos according to Rebbe. That means to say that according to Rebbe, just adding the water in of itself is enough to violate the malach of Lisha. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Omer, Einu Chayev, Ashi Gabel. And Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says, no, to violate the malach of Lisha of kneading, so one has to actually do the act of kneading. Putting the water in of itself is not enough. One actually has to knead the two together. And so, when taking a look at our Mishnah, now our Mishnah does not have authorship. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, so our Mishnah certainly seems to support this idea that the malacha is not going to be violated until you actually knead the liquid and the, in our case, it's not flour, in the Mishnah's case, it's bran, but it's not going to be a malacha of Lisha until you mix the two together, and that is the position of Yosef Rav Yehuda. It seems to be pretty clear cut. The Gemara says not necessarily. Dilma ad kan lo kam Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda asa malakamach de bar gibel. Maybe not. Maybe over there, in that machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, it happens to be that we're talking about flour over there. Flour is what the Gemara describes as bar gibel. It's something subject to kneading. It is conducive for kneading. Ava, but over here, more so than the lav bar gibel, who we're just talking about bran, which isn't something that is typically kneaded. So I feel Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, modus, so it could very well be that Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda will agree that one is not going to be in violation until one actually needs it. So the Gemara says, Lo sakadacha. The Gemara says, now, although it's a proposal that maybe our Mishnah is not going like the sheet of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, which parenthetically, by the way, if our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, just even at this stage of the Gemara, I know the Gemara is about to change its position, but if our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, so then who was our Mishnah going like? It's certainly not going to be going like Rebbe, because Rebbe's of the position that even with flour, if I add water to the flour, one is violating the malacha of lush, and our Mishnah is certainly not going like the position of Rebbe. And in the Gemara's proposal that our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, it kind of leaves our Mishnah now in this limbo place of not holding like either Tana. But anyway, the Gemara and so I don't know really what the Gemara is suggesting if our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, but the Gemara now points out that that's not true. Lo sakadacha. The Gemara says that's not a havamina that we can really entertain the Tanya because we know v'braisa. Behejia, specifically the Braisa says, "Hey, no semayim lamorsan divrei Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, omer no semayim lamorsan." So this very debate between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, is not just limited to flour; it's also true by the bran as well. That according to Rebbe, just putting the water into the bran is going to be the malacha of lush. And meanwhile, according to Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, no, it's only when it's kneaded together. Just pouring the water in of itself is not going to be a violation of lisha. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Braisa in Govlin esha. Kali v'yesh omrim govlin. And over here in the Braisa, really succinct, it talks about kneading what is kali. Now, roasted grains. So there are two positions in this Braisa. One says they're not allowed to be kneaded together, and the other one says they are allowed to be kneaded together. In order to facilitate better understanding over here, let's take a look at the bottom Rashi in the Amud. Rashi says, Kali kemach shel tvua shenis yav shah. Kishu klayos betanur. So what we did is that, first of all, we took the ears of the grain and we roasted them in an oven. And now what we did is we made flour of that. V'oso kemech la'olam atoku. Now, because it was roasted first, so now it's going to be a sweeter brand of grain. V'hu kimcha davshuna. And it is what is described in other places in the Gemara as kimcha davshuna. We'll see that together in Pesachim. And what do we do now with this sweet flour? Osin mimenu shesisa. So what we do with it is we're going to make a drink called shesisa. It may sound somewhat familiar. We discussed shesisa all the way back in Masecha Brachos in the sixth parak of the Masechta. So you make shesisa with it, and shesisa is a combination of this sweet flour together with oil, water, salt, says Rashi. And so is one allowed to make such a drink on Shabbos? That is the debate taking place in the Braisa. So we have two positions, and the Gemara now goes over these two positions, or rather, the second position, which allows you to knead together. So man yesh omrim. So the one that says that you are allowed to knead together, who is then? I'm Rav Chista, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehudi. So that is the sheet of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, but the Gemara says, but let's explain. The hani mili hu de mishani. So the Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda allows for kneading to be done, but only with a shinui, only when it is done in a somewhat deviant manner, an unusual manner. And that means to say as follows. If you take a look at the top Rashi over here on our Amud, skipping the parentheses, the Amar Ashi Gabel Hacha Govlin Kalacha Yad, meaning that yes, under certain circumstances, and all this will be clarified as we go on in the Gemara, but under certain circumstances, when kneading is in fact allowed, it's allowed, but only with a shinui, only when done with a deviation. And this is now going to be the deviation. And now we go back to the Gemara, and we're going to explain exactly how your Mishana. The Mishani, Heche Mishani, the Gemara's question. So when it is allowed, when kneading is allowed with a shinui, what is the shinui? I'm Rav Chista, Aliyad, Aliyad. So Rav Chista's shinui is going to be that you do it in small amounts, in small increments. And under those circumstances, if you're making shesis in small increments, so under those circumstances, it would be allowed. Now, in order to understand this a little bit better, let's go on in the Gemara, because the Gemara really will help us wrap our head around this idea that making the shesisa, doing it in an unusual manner, is going to be mutter. How is the shinui going to make it mutter? And again, the first way the Gemara is presenting shinui is just doing it in small amounts, in small batches. Now, first we're going to learn together a Mishnah v'shavin. This is a Mishnah in Brachos in the sixth parak. V'shavin shebokshen es ha-shesis v'shabbos. Everyone's in agreement that one is allowed to stir the shesisa on Shabbos. V'shosim. Also, one is allowed to drink this kind of Egyptian beer. Now, the drinking of the Egyptian beer is not really our topic for now, but The point is that the drinking of the Egyptian beer does produce a certain amount of therapy, but it's also a drink. And as we learned together, Kol Hamashkin, Rashi quotes the Mishnah that we learned earlier, Kol Hamashkin Shos Adam L'Refuah. As long as it's a beverage, as long as it's normally drunk, even though you happen to be drinking it for its therapeutic benefits, but that would be okay, that would be mutter to done on Shabbos, that's the Egyptian beer. But in the meantime, however, the stirring of the Shesisa, which is basically a blend of flour and water, and like we learned earlier, water, oil, salt, so making this drink, so one is allowed to stir it on Shabbos, so how can that be? How do we understand this Mishnah in Brachos? The Hamart Ein Govlin. Now, we said that you're not allowed to eat together. That was the opinion of the Tanakhama of the Raisa. So, Lokasha Haba Ava Hadaracha. So, the Gemara says, okay, so the difference is going to be whether or not it's a thick consistency or if it's a thin consistency. So, if it's a thick consistency, so now that's very similar to a dough, and that's going to be a violation of Lisha, and there's no way around it. And even doing a Shinui, there's no way around it. So, the only way that it would be okay is because of its thin consistency. So because it is more liquid in nature, so therefore it is not Lisha min HaTorah, even if it's not Lisha min HaTorah, a shinui needs to be done. And now the Gemara is going to articulate. V'hani miluhu d'mishani, and that's only when you do some in a somewhat different manner. Heich mishani, and how is it done in a different manner? Amar Rav Yosef, b'chol nosein as a chometz v'achachach nosein as a shesis. That during the week, normally what we do is first we put in the vinegar and afterwards we put in the flour. B'shabbos nosein as a shesis v'achachach nosein as a chometz. So on Shabbos, you reverse the orders, where first you're going to put in the flour, and then afterwards you're going to put in the vinegar. Levi, Rav Huna, Barchi, Ashkeche, Legavla, Debein Asha. Levi, son of Rav Huna, encounters the people in charge of the animals, right? And part of the responsibility is the preparation of this, of the bran and the water for the animals. Debein Asha just simply means that it was part of his father's estate, either his father's estate or his father-in-law's estate, either way. The kagava v'safile l'ture. And what they were doing is that they were kneading. They were taking the bran, they were mixing it with the water, and they were providing for the animals. Batushbe. Now, when Levi saw this kind of behavior, so he rejected that behavior. Literally, he kicked. But in other words, he felt that that was totally improper behavior to go ahead and to knead on Shabbos. Asavu ashkeche. So along comes the father, and he finds an amale. Well, let me quote to you your maternal grandfather, which is Mishmei de Rav, and he said over the name of Rav, Uman Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba. And by the way, we're describing Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba, and that is Govlin, below Masvin. So, and he is quoted as saying that one is allowed to knead it together. One is not allowed to force feed the feed to the animals. And the lolaka belishne. Now, if it happens to be a very young animal, so literally can't use its tongue yet, so mahalkatin lay. So then you could do this less aggressive form of feeding, the hani milu de mishane. Now, the idea that one can go ahead and mix the water and the bran together, that's only when you do a shinu, like we already said. Heich mishane. Now the Gemara is going to give us another way in which a unusual manner can be done. Am raviyem abar shalman mishme dabaye shasi ve'erev. So mixing it in an unusual way is by taking a fork or a spoon and basically making a crisscross, making an X, meaning that you're first going to go lengthwise in your mixture, then you're going to lift the spoon up, and then you're going to go in the in a perpendicular line, shasi ve'erev, and that is how you mix it. From Rashi, what it sounds like is that you only are allowed to do that one time. Rashi, on shasi ve'erev, he writes, pam achas molich, Hamakel Shesi Upam Achas Arev. So from Rashi, it sounds like you're only doing this one time in each direction, in the north-south direction, the east-west direction. And Vahalo Ma'ariv Shapir, as long as you don't mix it well, so this Shinui would be allowed in terms of mixing together the water and the bran. And Amar Rav Yehuda, and for a fourth and final way in terms of how a Shinui could be done, Minna'aro L'Kli, you're going to be pouring it from one pot into another. In other words, not actually mixing it with any kind of spoon, just simply pouring it from one utensil to another utensil, that could be also viewed as a shinui as well. So, to the question of, is one allowed to knead on Shabbos? So, the answer, of course, is no. It's one of the malachas on Shabbos. However, as we also have just learned together over the last bit of Gemara, is that if it's belila raka, if it is of a loose consistency, so then it does not violate the isra daraisa of lisha. On the other hand, to mix it straight out would be very similar to Lisha, so it can be done, but only if it is done with a shinui. So what constitutes a shinui? So by the end of the sugya, we have now seen four different ways in which a shinui can be done. The first presented by Rav Chista, which is Yad al Yad, doing small batches, small increments. The second is Rav Yosef, who says that in terms of introducing, you have to change the order in which it's normally done during the week. If during the week it's introduced one way, so then on Shabbos introduced another way. And that's the second way of shinui. A third way of shinui that we saw just in the name of Rav Yemar is Shesi Ve'erev. Don't mix it like you normally mix a bowl by taking the spoon and making circular motions, but rather make a back and forth motion, meaning Shesi Ve'erev. And again, from Rashi, it sounds like just one time. And the fourth shinui is Rav Yehuda, and that is by pouring it from one kli to another kli. All this is under the circumstances where it's a belila raka, where it is going to be a loose mixture. That's what it sounds like, is the Gemara's conclusion. In terms of the halacha, so many halachic works written up on Shabbos that discuss exactly when kneading is allowed, under what circumstances, but now at least we have the background Gemara necessary to understand that the issue is a compound issue of one, it has to be belila raka, not belila ava, and two, it still has to be done with a shinui, and in terms of which of the shinuim are preferred, so I reference you to the halachic works. Kasiv a pinkase de ziiri. So now we're going to take a look at various notebooks. Presumably over here, in terms of the notebooks that we're going to be describing right now, so we go back to a time where Torah Shabbat was, for the most part, still kept as Torah Shabbat. Although, to be honest, we're describing over here Amoraim, early generation Amoraim. So already the Mishnah was written down. So it could just simply be notebooks over here. Could just simply be understood as, you know, they were taking notes. The various Amoraim were taking notes, and each one of them had a collection of their own notes. Okay, either way. Anyway, we're looking at various notebooks over here. Ksiva Pinkasei de Ziiri. So we're looking at the notebook of Ziiri, Amri Sakadam Rebbe. So he said in front of Rebbe, Uman Rebbe Chia. Now it happens to be that that's Rebbe Chia, Maul Gabel. And he asked the question, is one allowed to knead? Amr Asur. And the answer was, no, you're not allowed to knead, meaning that's prohibited. Maul Lefarek. And when can one be Mefarek? Now the way Rashi understands question number two, Maul Lefarek, is can I take the food from one animal and go ahead and move it and transfer it to another animal? And to that, Amr Mutta, the answer is yes, you're allowed to do. Tosus has a difficulty with understanding the second question as having to do with changing the food from one animal to another animal. It's something that we already discussed earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Kuf Mem, and it's a little bit unusual and a little bit strange that the Gemara now is relitigating that question over here. Okay, and also it seems to be a bit of a non sequitur, but that's Rashi's pshat. And you'll see the support for Rashi's pshat is going to be based on the continuation of the Gemara. Amar Rav Menashe, Echad Kamechad. So in terms of laying out the food for an animal, so if it's one portion of food for one animal, that's obviously fine. Trey Kami Trey. If it's two portions of food for two animals, that's obviously fine. Shapir Dami. That's going to be fine, meaning you're not overexerting yourself. This is not Tircha Yosera, because this is the amount of food that this particular animal eats, and that's going to be perfectly fine. Klasa Kami Trey Asar. Now, if I take three portions of food and put it in front of two animals, that's not acceptable. Why? So presumably the answer is Tircha Yosera, because that is now overexertion. Even though the food is not muktzeh, as we already established, but you're obligated to feed your animals, but if you're working too hard on Shabbos unnecessarily, so that's Tircha Yosera, and that should be avoided on Shabbos. So putting three in front of two is going to be also. Rashi points out over here, it goes without saying that putting two portions in front of one is going to be prohibited. So, but the chiddush over here is that three portions in front of two, okay, you went over, but not the kind of percentages that you did for two over one. Nevertheless, it's still going to be also because you didn't need to do that. Rav Yosef Amar Kav Afilu Kabayim. Rav Yosef disagrees. He says you can put even a kav in front of the animal, even two kavim in front of the animal. Ula Amar Kur Afilu Kuraim. And Ula says you can put a kor, you can even put two kor in front of an animal, meaning that for them there is no limit to how much you can put in front of the animal. And if you need to exchange it or take whatever is left over and bring it to another animal, so that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Okay, so that is all from the notebook of Ziiri. Ksiva Pinkasa de Levi. Now we're up to Levi's notebook. And there in his notebook, Amisa Kadam Rebbe. It was said in front of Rebbe Umanu Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Now there, Rebbe is a reference to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. That's Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Adahavu Gavlin Shesisa Bebavel. So he heard that they were making the shisis out in Bavel, Vavet Savach Rebbe, and Rebbe would cry out over that, meaning he would say that that's unacceptable among Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And again, just to review, that's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Ada havu gavlin shisisa, that they were kneading the shisisa out in Bavel. Now, this is Rebbe consistent to what we learned earlier, meaning go back to the beginning of our sugya this morning and go back to the bottom of the previous amud, and in terms of just introducing the water to the flower, so that, according to Rebbe, is already going to be a violation of lush. So you see that Rebbe takes a more strict position as it relates to lisha, as it relates to kneading. And so when they're making shisis out in Bavel, so Rebbe obviously, understandably, is upset because his position is that you're not even allowed to add water to the flour. So v'leis d'shmi'ale, but then as we continue now in the Gemara now notes that people just are not listening to Rebbe, even though he's opposed to it. V'leis chela b'yadei l'meiser, now he doesn't have the power in his hands to prohibit it. Now, mind you, by the way, Rebbe's in Eretz Yisrael, and this is the behavior of the community out in Bavel. So, okay, it could just simply be a distance issue. Okay, and he doesn't have the power to answer it. And midi Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. And the reason why he doesn't have the power to answer it, because he knows that this is subject to a debate. He knows that he's involved in the debate. And he knows that on the other side of the debate is Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, who is more lenient on the matter, and they're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. Now, Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda says that it will not be lashed if you just introduce the water. And in terms of mixing, so as we learned already, and this goes back to the beginning of our sugya, as terms of mixing it together, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda allows for the mixing, but with the shinuyin that we already described earlier. But you see that Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda is in fact more lenient. Ksiva Pinkasei de Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And now we're going to take a look at the notebook of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. This is going to take us now pretty much through the duration of today's daf, and this notebook of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. This Gemara over here, I would say, is for the most part, well-known Gemara. The details, obviously, you forget over the course of time, but the general idea that we're going to be learning together is going to be a fascinating discussion about determinism, about basically when a person is born, so what is that person going to be born with? This is something that philosophers have grappled with for years, thousands of years, and this is something now that the Gemara over here is going to be discussing, and quite frankly, also debating as well. This obviously has nothing to do with our discussion about feeding animals and the malach of Lisha, but as long as we engaged in the discussion of this one's notebook, that one's notebook, so now Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi also has a notebook, and here's what it says in his notebook. So first position that we're going to be seeing together is that a good part of a person's constitution and what is going to be his general demeanor is going to be determined by the day of the week that he's born. Meaning there's a certain koach in the day of the week that you're born. Now that koach is going to be predicated on Maisa Bereishis, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu created certain things on each day of the week. So imbued within each day is going to be a certain koach. And when a person is born on that day, so he's going to be imbued with that particular koach. And so we're going to go through now a person being born on the various days of the week. And I know what everyone's going to do. Everyone's going to hear now what day relates to which koach, and then they're going to go back and not remember, but look on record and to see which day of the week they're born on. And I know it's going to sound a little bit like astrology over here. But nevertheless, there is a line of thought, clearly, that there is some sort of influence that a person is going to be born with based on the day of the week that he's born. So the Bechad B'Shabbat, so we start with a Sunday. If a person is born on Sunday, Yihi Gever V'lo Chadabe. So he's going to be a significant type of person, and however, Lo Chadabe. But he will not have a particular attribute. What does that mean? That's a little cryptic. And the Gemara explains, Mai V'lo Chadabe, Ilema V'lo Chadletivo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe there's not going to be any good in him. The Gemara says, that's not true. V'hamer Rav Ashi Anna Bechad B'Shabbat Havai. Rav Ashi notes that he was born on a Sunday. So El Alav Chada Labisha. So the Gemara says, well, so maybe what it means is that he's going to be complete and there's not going to be any bad in him. So the Gemara says, but that's not true because Vama Ravashi, because we have a tradition given to us by Ravashi, which is Anavadimi Bar Kukista Havim Bechad B'Shabbat. So me together with this Bar Kukista, Dimi Bar Kukista, were both born on a Sunday. And Ana Melech Vuhu Havi Reish Ganavi. Now we both basically excelled in our various fields. It just happens to be that I became Rosh Hashiva and he became the head of the thieves. So he was a godfather. So yes, we both excelled, but you know, one for good and one for bad. And so the Gemara says, Ela ikula letuve ikula bishu. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we understand. So being born on Sunday is basically going to allow you to excel, but you can either be good or you can be bad, but there's gonna be excellence. Now, what does that have to do with Sunday? So we go back to Maaseh Bereishis. What was, and by the way, you could see this in the parentheses, meaning this was not part of the original Nusach HaGemara. Someone must have added this as a perish, but this is basically the Pshat, which is what was created on Yom Rishon. It was Or and Choshech. It was light and dark. So that means to say that now that Koach is going to go into the person that's born on a Sunday. So that means to say it's going to be either or it's going to be Choshech. But there's no middle ground. It's really binary. Okay, so that is Sunday. And we're just going to finish and move through every other day of the week. I'm on the Betrei B'Shabbat, somebody born on a Monday. Yihi Gavar Ragzan. It's going to be someone who is contentious, who is cantankerous. My Tamei Mishum de Iflugu Bei Maya, because that was the day that water was separated. I'm on the Betlasa B'Shabbat, somebody born on a Tuesday. Yehi Gvir Atir V'Zanai. So that person is going to be wealthy, but he's also going to be somewhat sexually immoral. My time in Mishum Devrei Be'asavim. Now the reason why is because on Tuesday along came the grass. What does grass have to do with sexual immorality? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, so Tachi Ha'aretz, I'm reading the Rashi. Vuhu Davish Parva Rava Me'od. So grass grows and it grows a lot. Umimahir Lagadel V'Smoach. And it grows quickly. Duhu Inyan Pritzus. And that is related to Pritzus, meaning just too much growth, too quick. And Lishnachrin and Rashi also offers another pshat as well, and that is the Loksiv Liminehu Basavim. We also know that even though the instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that everything grow and remain within its particular species, when it comes to the grass, that's not what happened. However, they didn't listen. Now, in of itself, by the way, it goes without saying, but I'll say it. It's very difficult to understand how the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not listening, meaning when it comes to human beings, so we have the Chir Chavshis. And so therefore we understand non-compliance as it relates to people. As it relates to grass, it's much more difficult to understand. But we have a tradition, Rashi here is quoting it, that by ace of the Pasuk does not say Liminehu. So the Oshiyot and Biravivya, the Yonkin Zumizu. And what happens is that the grass came and it came basically all mixed up, all entangled. And so it did not keep to its own. And that speaks to the sexual immorality that is imbued into the person that is born on a Tuesday. Going now to Wednesday. Haimandar Babashaba. So somebody who's born on a Wednesday, he Gvar Chakim Vinahir. So he's going to be very smart and also Nahir. He's going to have a certain awe to him. Maitame Mishumdi Idlu Be Ma'aros, because that's the day where you have the luminaries that are created into the fabric of creation. Haimandar Bechamisha Bashaba. Now, if a person is born on a Thursday, Yegvar Gomel Chasadim, the person's going to be a very kind person. Maitame Mishum de Ivru Be Dagim Va'ofos, because that's the day that fish and birds are created. What does that have to do with being a Gomel Chesed? Again, Rashi writes, the Ivru Be Dagim Va'ofos, She'im Turchin La'ochlin Elanizon Bechesed Shalakaras Baruch Hu. So as far as fish and birds are concerned, they don't have to work that hard for their food. They are simply provided by the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so when a person is born on Thursday, he's imbued with this kind of chesed. Haiman de Memali Shabbasa, Yihi Gvar Chazran. A person is born in Erev Shabbos on a Friday, so he's going to be somebody who's always chasing. Chasing what? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Chazran b'mitzvos. He's going to be chasing mitzvos. Rashi explains, because on Friday, everybody's getting ready for Shabbos. Everybody's doing mitzvos on Friday in anticipation, preparation for Shabbos. So that's going to be true for the person who's born on a Friday. Haiman de b'Shabbasa. If a person's born on Shabbos, yehi b'Shabbasa, yamus de achilu ilave yuma rabat Shabbasa. So if you're born on Shabbos, it means you're also going to die on a Shabbos. And the Gemara over here says that since there was chil Shabbos involved in your birth, now obviously chil Shabbos that's allowed, but nevertheless, since there's chil Shabbos that is associated with your birth, so as a result of that, your death also is going to come on Shabbos as well as part of a kapara. And Amar Rava Barav Shila VeKadisha Rabbi Yitkarei. At the same time, also the person is going to be referred to as a holy individual, having been born on the Shabbos. So in terms of this idea that there's chilul Shabbos for the person who's born on Shabbos, so obviously it's a really interesting idea where obviously you had nothing to do with it. It's something that you can't plan. And obviously there's pikuach nefesh, so you can be mechal Shabbos, but still the Gemara speaks to this idea that if it can be avoided, the person should not be born on Shabbos. But obviously, under most every circumstance, it cannot be avoided. Just if I can insert over here in the Gemara, so this summer Rav Schechter is doing biographies on Gedolim, on more contemporary Gedolim. You can find it on YU Torah. And just in general, I mean, he doesn't need my Eskama, but I highly recommend his biographies. They have just simply been amazing. So recently he did one in the Chasam Sofer, and he tells a story that's written up in the biographies by people that are not contemporaries of the Chasam Sofer, but second, third generation. So they tell over a story that his mother was giving birth, and it was a Friday afternoon. And normally the minhag in Hungary is that they make early Shabbos. And she made a special request to the Rav that they do not make early Shabbos because she knew the baby was coming. And she wanted the baby to come without there having to be chilul Shabbos. So as a special petition, unbelievable story. As a special petition, so she asked the Rav not to make early Shabbos that particular Shabbos, knowing that she was going to deliver. And the Rav got the message. The Rav, in fact, did not make early Shabbos. And so is the birth of the Chasam Sofer. Okay. It's a rather remarkable story, and certainly fits in unbelievably with our Gemara over here. Anyway, continuing now in the Gemara, Amalu Rabbi Chanina, Poku Amrle Labar Levi. So Rabbi Chanina says, here's what I want you to tell Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who we just went through in terms of the significance of what day of the week you're born on. So Lo Mazel Yom Gorim Ela Mazel Sha'a Gorim. So you got it right, but you got it wrong. It's not going to be a function of the day of the week in terms of the kind of determinism, the kind of influences that are going to be born with the individual, but rather it's going to be the shah that's garim, it's going to be the hour that is going to influence. So now let's talk about the hour of the day, and let's talk about the various planetary influences. Okay, this is an idea that we already discussed earlier in this Masechta. Let's review. There are, from our perspective, while standing here on the earth, there are seven planets that we could see. Now, when I say planets, I don't mean a planet as defined by an astronomer. I just simply mean things that we could see with our naked eye. And we're not talking about the stars and the constellation. We're talking about moving planets. And the planets that we could see are the sun, the moon, and then five of the planets that we could see with the naked eye. So Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, Saturn. So these could be seen with the naked eye. So they are now considered planetary influences. Now, in terms of planetary influences, so you can see Rashi right over here. They have influences in a particular order. The order Rashi gives, Rashi Tevos, you can see the Rashi right alongside where we are in the Gemara, a little bit lower, right? Mazel Shah, sorry, it's a little bit lower than where we are in the Gemara. So Rashi has the acronym that helps us remember the order that the influences have. And I'm just going to spell them out. Chamanoga, Kochav, Levana, Shabtai, Tzedek, Ma'adin. So that would be the sun and Venus and Mercury and the moon and Saturn and the moon, Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars. So that is the planetary influences in its order. Now, in terms of when they have influence, so here's how the tradition works. The tradition is that they basically switch off on an hourly basis. So that means that these seven influences in total are going to each have an influence on a given particular hour. Now, we already discussed this earlier in the Masechta. It means to say that if you go through a full week, you're going to do a full rotation of these, meaning take 24-hour period, multiply that by seven, and you're going to have now a rotation of these influences on a particular pattern, on a particular cycle. If we can go just to a regular day, meaning at the beginning of the day, you're going to have the influences. Now, when I say the beginning of the day, I'm starting at nightfall of the previous evening. So you're going to have the influence of Chama, followed then by Noga, followed by Kochav, Levana, Shabtai, Tzedek, Ma'adim, etc., etc. And then we go back to Chama, and that's how we go. So in 7 hours, you have these seven influences. So back in the day, so this was well known, and there was a certain amount of respect that they had toward these planetary influences. Obviously, nowadays, you ask a typical person, they don't even know about this idea, about this concept. But clearly, the Gemara knew about this concept, and as we're going to learn right now, not only do they know about the concept, but according to one Shita, it is going to have an influence and effect on the person based on which hour they were born. Just also as one more parenthetical note over here, and this also is not popular, I would say that this is not widely known, the days of the week, meaning the names for the days of the week are actually going to be based on what is the beginning influence of that particular day. Meaning if you map out the various influences that occur over the course of each of the days, so you're going to see that the start of each day is going to be starting with a different influence. If you have a chart in front of you, you could actually see this charted out. And so that means to say that Sunday, so the influence that starts off the day is going to be the sun. And on Monday, it's better, by the way, if you say it in Spanish, because it just, you get to hear it a lot better. So on Monday, here for the first 2 days, it works both in the English and in the Spanish. But on Monday, that is going to be the influence of the moon. And on Tuesday, you don't hear it in English. But Martes, that is going to be Mars. And Wednesday, Mercury is going to be Mercury. And Thursday, Jueves is going to be Jupiter. And Viernes is Venus. And Sabado is going to be Saturn. So the influence over here, the planetary influences, so you see that with each day that starts, so it's actually named after the planetary influence that starts that particular day. Okay. All that may have been interesting, but going back to Argamar's point, so now, within Rabbi Chanina, this is going to be his revision, which is, it's not going to be based on the day that you're born, it's going to be based on the hour, and specifically, which planet is influencing that hour. And now, we get to go through all seven planets. Haiman de Bechama, so if a person's born during the planetary influence of the sun, Yigver Zaya sun, so that person is going to be illuminating. He's going to be illustrious. Yehei achum midilei v'shasim midilei. And also he's going to be eating and drinking from his own, meaning that he's not going to be supported by others. He'll be independent. V'razaw galin. And on top of that, all of his secrets are going to be revealed, meaning he's not going to be able to keep secrets, much like the sun shines. And it's hard to not see the sun. So here also, he's going to be basically an open book. And let's say he wants to go into a life of crime where he's basically going to have to be in the shadows and he's going to have secrets. He's just not going to be a successful ganav. On top of the fact that not recommended to become a ganav, and I'm being kind in the way I'm saying it, but on top of that, just simply because he is born under the influence of the sun, it's just not going to work out anyway. Haiman de Bekochav, now we're up to the Kochav, that's Venus. So Venus, by the way, Kochav, it's called the star. I'm sorry, the Bekochav Noga, right? The bright star, because of the planets that we see with our naked eye. So Venus is the brightest of them. So the Bekochav Noga, so if you're born under this Kochav of Noga, so Yehei Gvar Atir Vizanai. So you're going to be wealthy, but you're also going to be promiscuous. Yehei. My time and Mishum de Isiala Beinura, because Venus is so close to the sun. Now, obviously, our view of the orbits of the planets around the sun was not necessarily their view, but you will notice, even as a casual observer, you will notice that Venus is always near the sun. Now, we understand that maybe a little bit better than they did in terms of the way we view the orbits, but again, just from a simple observation standpoint, Venus was always proximate to the sun, and so their understanding is that, so you see over here, that's basically always heated up. So on one hand, you're going to be wealthy. On the other hand, also that kind of heat leads to promiscuity. Haiman de Bekochav. If a person is born under the influence of Kochav, that is Mercury. So he gavir nahir v'chakim, the person is going to be illuminating, is going to be wise. Mishum de Safra Chama. Because the Safra de Chama, that too is basically always near the sun as well. It's that the Gemara describes it as like a scribe to the sun. Haiman de Belavana, if a person is born under the planetary influence of the moon, Ye Gvar Savil Marin is going to be suffering. Banai Vesasi is going to build and it's going to collapse. Sasir Banai, things will collapse and they'll rebuild. Meaning just like the moon waxes and wanes. So that's going to be a good description of the person's life. Achal Dolo Delay, Vishasa Dolo Delay. And he's not going to be independent and he will be dependent and he'll be dependent on others. Just like the moon gets its radiance from the sun, so to this individual will be dependent on other people. V'razai kasyan im ganav matzleach. And also, he is good at keeping secrets, just like the moon has got a dark side to it. So this person is able to keep secrets. And if he's going to become a ganav, so he'll have a tzlacha. He'll be successful in being a ganav. Again, not condoning, just simply saying that's built into its nature. Haiman de b'Shabbasai, a person's born on Shabbos. If a person's born under the planetary influence of Saturn, yehigvar michashavte b'talin. So you're going to be a person where your thoughts are, you have all these great ideas, but you're not going to carry through with any of those really good ideas. If you look at the word Shabbos, you're going to see in that word Shabbos meaning that basically it'll be cessation. The East Army called the Mechashvan Allah B'Talim. Or a positive spin on it is that when others think about you, so their thoughts about you are going to be put to an end. Okay, so it's a positive way to say over the same basic idea. Haiman de B'Tzedek, if a person's born under the planetary influence of Jupiter, Yehegvar Tzidkan. So like the planet itself indicates that it is tzedek, so you're going to be tzedkan, you'll be righteous. Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak v'tzidkan b'mitzvos. And the righteousness is going to present itself in terms of mitzvos. Haiman de Bema'adim, if a person is born under the planetary influence of Mars, so Yehegvar Ashid Dama. So somebody's going to spill blood. The Mars obviously gives off a red hue, so it speaks to the idea that you're going to spill blood. Am Rav Ashi im umna I ganava, itavcha imoala. So Rav Ashi says, now that spilling of the blood can be channeled in a lot of different ways. The person could be a bloodletter. The person could be a gun of having to kill. A person could be a butcher. The person could be a mohel. Meaning how you channel that that koach, so that's up to you. But the koach is there, and obviously you want to channel it for positive, not for negative. Amarava ana b'ma'adim havai. So Rav says that I happen to have been born under the influence of ma'adim. So Amar Abaye, mar nami anish v'katil. So Abai says to him, well, basically, you're a killer. Now, that could be understood in a couple of ways. First of all, it could just simply be that in debate, in the base medrash, so Rabba basically will take somebody apart. And in that regard, so it could very well be that in the base medrash, he was a killer. But another way to say it over is that also Rabba was the Rosh Yeshiva. He was also the Nasi. He was also the leader. And so, and he had within his power to go ahead and punish people if necessary. Okay, so we have now presented for us either the notebook of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi or the revision of Rabbi Chanina, but either one of them subscribes to some sort of determinism within a person, that the person is going to be made up, his composite, in his personality is going to be made up based on when he was born. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's a function of day. According to Rabbi Chanina, it's going to be a function of hour of the day that he's born, knowing which influence occurs during that hour of the day. But nevertheless, both of them subscribe to this idea that there is a certain amount of determinism that goes into a person, and the person is not tabula rasa, the person is not a clean slate. Itmar, continuing in the Gemara. Obviously, this topic, by the way, is a huge and expansive topic, and we are just going through the Gemaras, but you're going to see in the Gemara there are definitely different strains of thought in terms of this idea of determinism. Itmar, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Chanina Omer, Mazel Machkim, Mazel Mashir, V'ish Mazel Yisrael. So Mazel is going to make a person wise, he'll make a person wealthy, and Yesh Mazel Yisrael, and it's just simply inescapable. Even for the Jewish people, they're going to be subject to this Mazel. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Mazel Yisrael. Now Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that there is no Mazel Yisrael. Rashi over here writes, Al Yidei Tfila Uzchus Mishtane Mazel Atova. Even Rabbi Yochanan's presentation where of Ein Mazel Yisrael, it doesn't mean that it has no power and has no influence. Meaning the way Rashi understands it, it still has the power and influence, but we have the power to change it. Ein Mazel Yisrael, says Rashi, that with Tfila and with Zchuyos, so then it can be changed. V'az Rav Yochanan Tame. Now Rav Yochanan is consistent. I'm Rav Yochanan Minan Chein Mazel Yisrael. How do we know that the Jews don't have Mazel? But again, now that we saw the entire Gemara and we saw Rashi, now we understand Ein Mazel Yisrael does not mean it doesn't exist. It just simply means that we have the ability to confront it and at times even change it. But not to be understood in the absolute, oh, there's nothing to it. No, in the context of the Gemara, there is something to it. It's just subject to, we have the ability to change it. Shenamar, the Gemara is going to bring a number of proofs that this is in fact so. So, first of all, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Komar Hashem, El Derech Agoyim, Al Tilmudu Ma'osos HaShemayim, Al Techasu. Hiyechasu Agoyim Mehema. So the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that don't learn from the Goyim, and don't worry about the signs from heaven, and don't be afraid, because the Goyim are afraid of them. Heim Yechatu V'lo Yisrael. The Goyim are afraid of the signs and the astrology, but you don't need to be afraid of them, you're above it. And again, in the context of our Gemara, it means to say that you can change it. Vav Rav Savar in Mazal Yisrael. Rav also subscribes to this. So now on the idea that that Mazal can be changed, so we have Rav Yochanan, we're going to add Rav to the list as well. And how do I know that? Dam Rav Yehuda Rav Minayin Shei Mazal Yisrael Shenemar. Vayotzei Oso Achutza. At the Brisbane and Masarim, so what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram is, let's go outside. Now Amar Avram Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara is going to understand, what does that mean, let's go outside? So, Avram says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ben Beisi Yoresh Osi. So, Avram says, well, I know what's going to happen, meaning that I'll have Ben Beisi, the Eliezer, and he'll inherit me, meaning I'm simply unable to have a child. So, Amar Lo, Lav Ki Ima Sher Yetzei Meme'echa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, no, you're going to be the progenitor. You're going to have a child yourself. I'm a lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam. He's takal to be tzagni nishali. Ve'inu ra'u laholid ben. So he says, I saw the astrology. I saw the influences, either of the day or of the planets. Whatever the case is, I saw all the influences, and I know that I'm not going to have a child. So Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Sei mit tzigna shalcha she'ein mazal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, that's true. There is a determinism that you're not going to have a child. On the other hand, you're going to be able to leave it. You're going to be able to go outside. And now that's the pasuk. Vayotzei Oseh Achutza. He's to be taken outside, meaning outside of his planned path. Mai Daitech. Dekai Tzedek Memarav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now continues to explain to Abraham. He says, look, I know what you're thinking. And that is that Jupiter is all the way out in the west. Meaning that in the influences that you looked at, that you saw, so you saw that Jupiter was nowhere near the sun, and Rashi explains over here, he has a tradition from his Rebbeim, that Jupiter being so far away from the sun, it's out in the west, and the sun's rising in the east. So, Shuhu Makom Mitzonen, Rashi writes, it's a colder place, Ve'in Roi Lo Olid. And again, we spoke to this idea that if you're heated up, in other words, if you are under the influence of, let's say, what was the influence that was closest to the sun? We described it as Noga. So there, you're really going to be heated up. So so over here, so because Jupiter was so far away from the sun, so Avram didn't have this heat, but the Kosh Baruch Hu says, but for me, that's not a big deal. I'll just simply take Jupiter and I'll move it, and I'll move it closer to the east. And now, again, to the best of our understanding, meaning but we now, at least we understand the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Mi Heir Mimizrach Tzedek Yikrein L'Raglo, that who caused Tzedek, meaning now we understand it's the reference to the planet Jupiter, and moved over to the east. So Yikru L'Raglo, it was done for him, meaning for Avram Avinu. And now we understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avram Avinu, oh, you're worried about the alignment of the planets and where the planets were located. So he says, you don't need to worry about that because those are things that I can change. Okay. And it goes without saying that the change over here does not necessarily mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually going to be changing planetary alignment. Obviously, it's within his power to do that. It just simply means that whatever influence that it has, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change the influences. Right? I think that would be the easiest way to say it. Not to say that, of course, that I'm right. But anyway. And now let's add Shmuel to the list. So far, in Mazal Yisrael is being championed by Rav Yochanan and Rav. And now we're going to add Shmuel to the list as well of Ein Mazal Yisrael. How do I know that? So Shmuel is sitting together with Avlate. Now, you'll be forgiven for not knowing who he is. Avlate is an astrologer, a non-Jewish astrologer. And they were sitting together, and now, by the way, remember Shmuel, right, in terms of his knowledge of astronomy and the constellation, right, elsewhere the Gemara says that Shmuel says, I know the constellations as well as I know the streets of Naharda. So obviously he was a man who understood astronomy, astrology, planetary influences. This is something that he excelled in. And so he's sitting now together with Avlate, And now, there was a person passing by them, La'agma, and he was headed out to the swamp. So Abel says to Shmuel, well, let me tell you a little bit about that person right now. He's going to go into the swamp and he's not going to come back. Tarek lechivra mice, he's going to be bitten by a snake, he's going to die. And Abel knows this because of his knowledge of astronomy and astrology. So Amalei Shmuel, so Shmuel says to him, Ibar Yisrael hu, azav ase. So Shmuel says, look, if he's a Jew, so he's above it. Which again speaks to the idea that Shmuel is acknowledging that there's something to it. And Shmuel says, but it just happens to be that if he's Jewish, so he can be above it, ein mazal Yisrael. So adi asve ase. So now, as much as Shmuel predicted, so he went into the swamp and he came out of the swamp. Now Avle was not happy because it didn't conform with what he thought he knew was going to happen. Kam Avle shajilatune. Now Avle goes over to the man. Now he came from the swamp with a bundle, meaning he was there to harvest, and he came back with some sort of bundle. He took the bundle and he threw it on the ground. Ashkech bechivya depasek. Vishadi betarti guve. And what he saw is that within the bundle, so there was a snake, and the snake happened to have been chopped into two. Meaning that while this person was chopping the wood or chopping the straw, whatever he was collecting, so unbeknown to the person, he actually chopped the snake in half, the snake that was supposed to bite him and kill him. So Amli Shmuel, my avadit. So Shmuel wants to know, so this obviously demanded that there be a change of the influences. And Shmuel wants to know, so you had a zchus. So Shmuel tells me, what did you do good today? So Amar Lei, kol yuma hava medaminan rifta, kol yuma hava marminan rifta bahadi adade v'achlinan. So he says, look, usually in the group what happens is that everyone throws bread into the collective bowl. And then what we do is that we eat it. Basically some sort of pot lunch, potluck. Not exactly sure exactly what the system was, but anyway. Ha'ina hava ika chan minan delo hava le rifta. But I noticed one person came today and he didn't bring bread with him. And havaka michsef. And I saw that the person was embarrassed. So amina lu ana kaimna ve armina ki matala gabe shavne shan kamanda shakamine. And so when I grabbed from the basket, what I did is I looked like I grabbed something from the basket, but the truth of the matter is I didn't grab anything from the basket. And so now there was enough bread for everybody because I didn't take, because I didn't want him to embarrass. Ki hechi delo lichsef, so that he will not be embarrassed. So I saved somebody from embarrassment today. So Amalei mitzvah avarata, nafik Shmuel v'darish. So Shmuel says, good, you did a mitzvah. And now Shmuel realized that it was in the schus of that particular mitzvah. And the Gemara in a moment is going to call it tzedakah. And tzedakah because even though, right, yeah, it was tzedakah. In other words, that person didn't have bread. Presumably, he didn't forget the bread, meaning he just simply didn't afford it. He couldn't afford it. And so by this person now pretending like he took a loaf and didn't, so it's a form of tzedakah. And Shmuel now arrives at the following conclusion. Not only did he do tzedakah, which in of itself obviously is a mitzvah, but it saved his life. So Amalei mitzvah avidata nafak Shmuel v'darish, and Shmuel now darshin. And he said, if it's tzedakah, tatzel mimavis. Tzedakah is going to save a person from death. Now that's a pasuk in Mishlei, but Shmuel now understands that we can go deeper into the pasuk. V'lo mimisa b'shuna, lo mimisa atzma. Now we're not talking about we're not talking about just saving you from experiencing some sort of absurd or unusual death. But in other words, we're just talking about death, meaning even if the person was predestined to die in a particular day, tzedakah can give him an extension. It can prolong his life. And now we're moving backwards in time, meaning, so now we have Rav Yochanan and Rav and Shmuel, and we're also going to have Rabbi Akiva, who says, Ein Mazal Yisrael. How do I know that the Rabbi Akiva, Havilei Barta, Rabbi Akiva had a daughter, Armelei Kaldai, now in having a conversation with the Chaldeans, who are astronomers, astrologers, and now forecasting the future of his daughter, and they said to Rabbi Akiva, Hu yuma da'ayla lebe ganana, tarik lechivya mesa. On the day of her chasna, she's going to be bitten by a snake and she's going to die. So this is the forecast that was given to Rabbi Kiva relating to his daughter. So Ahava Diga Milsatuva, and Rabbi Kiva was worried about it. And again, I know I'm really hammering this point, but it's not that Rabbi Kiva just simply ignored it. Rabbi Kiva realized that there's something to it, and it bothered him. It bothered him tremendously. Hahu Yuma Shakita Lemich Lemich Nita and Dasa Beguda, And on the day of her wedding, so she took off some sort of pin, some sort of brooch, and she stuck it right into the wall. In other words, there was, right, basically just to hold it. And Yisrami Yisad Be'ina Dechivya. And it happened to have gone right into the eye of the snake, meaning the snake was right behind the wall, waiting to bite her, because, again, the forecast had had elements of truth to it. In fact, it was supposed to happen. And she, by unbeknownst to her, she happened to have stabbed the snake right in the eye. Lesafra, now the next morning, Kikashak Lalei Habakasarich Vasechivya Basra. So now she took the brooch out, and she discovers now that there was a snake over there. Now, the Gemara describes how the snake is tracking her, but probably the snake is dead, mostly dead. Anyway, the threat is now over. So, Amrle Avua Mayavarit. So, now, Dad says to her, Dad over here is being Rabbi Akiva, says to his daughter, what did you do? Meaning, obviously, you were supposed to die on this day. And Rabbi Akiva, by the way, was burdened with that information for her entire life. But now, threat has been averted, and he wanted to know what was the tzchus. So Amrale, she says to him, "Panya asanya karabava." So yesterday, there was a poor person who was knocking on the door of Avatridi Kuleama Besudasa. Now there was a chasna the next day, meaning today, and everyone was busy with the chasna, so understandably, no one was there to pay him any attention. And Veleka Deshame, nobody heard him banging on the door. So Kaima Shakalti Liristanai Yavti Li Yavti Niale. And so I took my portion of food and I just simply gave it to the Ani. And Amrale, mitzvah avarat. And so Rabbi Akiva says, you did a mitzvah. And more than just you did a mitzvah. Nafak Rabbi Akiva Vidarish, and Rabbi Akiva went down and he told everybody, Tztaka Tatsumi Mavis, that Tztaka saves you from death. Below Mimisa Mishuna, Ela Mimisa Atzma. And we're not just talking about saving you from some sort of tragic death, but even just from regular death, meaning it gives you an extension of life. And one more that we're going to add, and that's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, to the list of Amoraim and the Tana Rabbi Kiva, who says, Ein Mazal Yisrael. The Ema de Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amir Leikal Dai Brich Ganava Hava. So the Chaldean said to the mother of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that your son is going to be a Ganav. That is already predestined. It's determined that that is going to be his fate. So, Lo shavikte galuye reshe. So she had it that he would never go out with his head uncovered. Amrle, she says to him, kase reshech ki hechi tetave alach emasa deshmaya. Always cover your head, so you'll have yira shemayim. You'll have fear of heaven. Right. One of the ways that we describe the kippah is yarmulke, and yarmulke is a contraction of your of yiras malchus of fear of heaven, and you find it right here in the Gemara. And that's what the mother did. Ubay rachame, and she davened also, and lo haviyada and my kamerle. And now he didn't understand what she was saying, and so he didn't understand the significance of the kippah that he was wearing. And okay, my mom told me to wear it. He wore it, but he didn't really understand. But yumachad yasiv kagarim kagaris tutze dikla. Now one day he happened to have been learning under a palm tree. And nafaglima mi'ilave reishe. And what happened was is that the whatever he was wearing, right, we call it a kippah, whatever it is, it fell off his head. The covering fell off his head. And dali ene chazal adikle. And so now his head is uncovered, and he looks up and he sees the dates of the palm tree. So alme yitzre, his yitzre now starts to be misgaber, starts to grow and increase and gain strength. Salik paske lekiburi bishine, and he climbed up the tree. And he took a cluster, and he took a cluster not with his hands, but with his teeth. Meaning he was that wild, he had that much of a yetzer, and he now understood and he recognized that the kippah that he wore on his head, which providing the Yiras Malchus, the Yiras Shamayim, so that was there in order to be able to subdue the influences that he was born with. So, Ein Mazal Yisrael, meaning that with tefillah, with zechuyos, so the mazal can change. But the mazal's there. And he saw it actualize when, for a moment, the kippah fell off. But he understood that there is mazel, but it also is subject to change. So again, Rav Nachman Yitzchak also is of the opinion of Ein Mazel Yisrael. Obviously, there's a good place to stop. We'll pick it up tomorrow. But just as a quick recap of today's daf, in summary, we started off with the malacha of Lisha, machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. At what point exactly is one violating the malacha of Lisha? Rebbe takes a much harsher position that just introducing the liquid into the flour already is lisha. And according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, no, lisha is when you actually knead it together. And then what we learned together over the course of the daf is that if it is the belila raka, if it is of a looser mixture, a looser consistency, so then it's not lisha min haTorah. And as long as the person mixes it together using a shinui, the Gemara went over four different shinuyim that can be done. So under those circumstances, so then it would be mutter. Okay, and the Gemara spent a little bit more time with lisha, but that is basically a review of the Gemara regarding lisha. Then the Gemara talked about feeding animals and issues of tircha yisera. Make sure not to give too much food to the animal because that would for you be too much work. Although that also was subject to a debate amongst the Amoraim, whether or not you have to be measured in terms of the amount of food that you give to your animal. Then the Gemara spent a lot of time regarding influences. We had the Pinchas of Yeshua ben Levi, who said that a person is going to be predetermined, his nature is going to be predetermined based on the day of the week in which he's born. Harkening back to my Sebracious, based on what is accomplished on that day regarding my Sebracious, so the person is going to have that kind of koach and that kind of influence based on the day that he's born. Rabbi Chanina does a revised understanding. He also agrees in principle to the idea that there are influences, but it's not going to be based on the day of the week, but rather it's going to be based on the hour that you're born. Each hour has with it a certain planetary influences. We went over seven planets, seven influences, and that's going to determine. Then we saw the various number of shitas amongst the Amoraim, and Tanaim would say Ein Mazal Yisrael. So incorporated within that shita is going to be the opinions of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva and Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So all of them collectively say Ein Mazal Yisrael, and that means, like Rashi says, it's very clear from the Gemara, but like Rashi says, meaning that there is Mazal and there are influences and there is a certain amount of predeterminism that goes into every person. But nevertheless, with tefillah and with zechuyos and with staka, so those influences can be changed. They are subject to being manipulated and changed. And there are a number of sources also that we find in Tanakh as well. We quoted Psukim in Sefer Yirmiyahu that speaks to this idea by Avram Avinu, and Bris Ben Eved Sarim also spoke to the idea that Avram, as far as the influences is concerned, was not to have a child. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, "Say achutza," right? So let's go outside. Meaning, we're gonna leave what was predetermined, and it can be subject to change. Ad Khan, that takes us to the Mishnah. Tomorrow, with the last day on the Masechta, we start with the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud.